Thank you, Nathaniel. You're much better than Dave Duffy. I can give you that. Good to be with you folks. I hope everyone can hear me. And I don't care if you can see me, but hopefully you can hear me. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. I want to read a couple of verses there. And actually, we are going to use this text really to speak this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, and we're starting in verse 5, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Let me just read verse 8 again, because really this is our text this morning. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Father, for your word, and we thank you for one another that we can gather around thy word and open it up and preach from it, Father. And we pray for each and every one, even as Nathaniel mentioned, a lot of people are missing, Father, for sickness reasons and other reasons, and we just lift them up to you, and we pray for one another, Father, and that we would be encouraged this morning from thy word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to give titles to my messages, and this one is the sober-minded or the clear-headed believer. And I think you and I would easily agree on this. We live in what? Perilous times, turbulent times. And I have been reminded by 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Tony, whatever happens, be clear-headed, be sober. We're not like the rest of the world, and that's what Paul says to these young believers in Thessalonica. You're not like the rest of the world. You don't live in darkness. And Christ has set us apart. We are, but let us, verse 8, but let us live in light. So we're not in darkness. We're different. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And the world, and we're not immune to this, of course, is going through, it's like it's been turned upside down in the last couple of years. CBC had an article that I saw, cbc.ca, you can go look at it if you want. Here's the headline, I'll read it to you. How disagreements about COVID have driven families and friends apart. Well, here's the world telling us that the world has been torn apart, families split, not talking to each other. But the message that the Apostle Paul would tell you and I, the word of God would tell you and I, we need to be sober about this clear-minded. We have light that the world doesn't have. And it's, you know, I was reading John 15 this week. I was encouraged by it. And in John 15, Jesus was saying, and I'm using Tony's, you know, little interpretation of these verses. He was saying, you know what? You guys are not slaves. You guys are not my employees. You disciples are my friends. And because of that, I am going to let you in on some secrets. The world won't understand it, but you will, because you're my friends. You're not slaves. A master doesn't share with a slave his secrets. You're children. You're my children. You're my friends. And I was really, really encouraged by that. And it brought me really to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and to look at this in a very, very sober way and remind myself, Tony, you don't live in darkness. You don't live in darkness. You live in light. Now, I had a fellow that I met this week, and I talked to him, and he asked me some questions. He realized I was a Christian, and so was he, by the way. And I didn't tell him I was a Christian. He just found out I was a Christian, and he came and asked me a couple of questions about the end times. He was very interested in, and he said, "You know what?" And I said, "Well, you got an hour?" And of course he didn't. But I said, "Look, I in a very short way, because I only had a few minutes with him, I told him about the book of Thessalonians. And I said, you need to read there, start there." And I said, "Look, the book of Revelation." And, you know, I said, "Look, I understand that, you know, if you haven't really studied these things, it can be difficult. But here's the Apostle Paul." And this is what I was explaining to him. I said, he got young believers because Paul had only spent about 3 weeks in Thessalonica, but he obviously taught them eschatology. He gave them eschatology 101. You read it throughout this epistle. If you read 1 Thessalonians and even 2 Thessalonians, it's all about, really, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I need to rightly divide the word of truth, and you see it here in 1 Thessalonians. Part of the light that you and I have, that we live in light, not in darkness, is we understand these things. Paul here talks about two comings of the Lord Jesus. Go to chapter 4, we'll just read, and for most of you, I know this is maybe elementary, but it's always good to go over this, okay? And look at verse 13 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. What does he say here? Paul is talking to these baby Christians. He's taught them already. He taught them eschatology. He taught them the future. It's obvious, but they got a problem. They believe in the rapture. They believe in the second coming of the Lord, but they're discouraged. And one of the reasons they're discouraged is because people have died. Their loved ones have died. And they're figuring, are my loved ones going to miss the rapture because they're dead and they missed it? And Paul has to answer this, and here's what he writes. Look, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died? So you will not grieve like people who have no hope. And isn't that true, Christian? Isn't that true for you and I? We lose a loved one. It hurts, tears your heart apart. But we don't grieve like other people that have no hope. You know that I love obituaries. I got my degree in obituariology. And it when you can read an obituary, you know, people, they put all their eggs in the basket of this world. All of it. They live whatever amount of time, and I just find it's always such a tragedy when I read obituaries, especially young people. And if you read anything usually about mental health or whatever, give to the Mental Health Foundation or Addiction Foundation, you almost know for sure how they died. They either committed suicide or overdosed. And it's sad. It's tragic. But we're not like that. We're not like that. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died. So you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, he's coming, talking about coming back, God will bring with him the believers who died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend or come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive, that's our hope. It's our hope. And remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will forever be with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. You see, this is all about encouragement. Encouragement. Paul had taught them, listen, I'm reminding you, there's two comings. There's the rapture. The next prophetic event on the calendar is the rapture, Christian. The dead in Christ will rise first. You see, when you die, absent in the body, and what? Present with the Lord. So put somebody's face that you know, right even from the assembly or a loved one or whatever that knows the Lord, and they die. Where are they? Their spirit is in heaven. Their body is in the grave. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 5 and verse 25. He said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man. And when they hear it, they'll come up. See, Christ is going to come back. The rapture is Christ coming to the clouds. The rapture is going to occur first. Paul teaches this in 1 Thessalonians. Don't be ignorant. Don't be like the rest of the world. The rapture is going to take place. The snatching away. The dead in Christ, their spirits, their soul is with Jesus as we speak. He's bringing them with him to meet their resurrected bodies in a twinkling of an eye. In a nanosecond, their bodies, their resurrected bodies will meet their spirits. They come with Christ. We meet them in the air and we go with Christ. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14? Again, for encouragement. What did he say? Okay, John 14 and 1. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. And I, Jesus, go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? I will come back to receive you. Where is he going to receive us? Where is he going to receive us? In the air. I will come back to receive you, that where you are, you will be with me also forever. We never ever going to be away from the Lord, ever. You have to understand that. The rapture, it is a doctrine. You know, a lot of people, they just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it happens. It, sure, it matters. You and I, Christian, are not looking for the Antichrist. We're not looking for the Antichrist. Paul talks about the Antichrist to the Thessalonians. He tells them in chapter 4 is about the rapture. Chapter 5 is about the day of the Lord. That's when Jesus is going to come back. And by the way, Christian, by the way, you and I come back with him. We're coming back. He's going to take us to heaven. There's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, the reward ceremony, our lack of rewards, the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, and this is clearly taught in 1 Thessalonians. You need to get your eschatology right because this is key. The church, the bride of Christ. Okay, let me read it to you in case you don't believe it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. What does it say there? For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour wrath or his anger on us. You see, the church, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. You and I cannot grow without trial. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And that's what Paul's saying. Thessalonians, you're going to go through, they already were, they were going through enormous persecution. But it wasn't the end. It wasn't God's wrath. You see, the church is not appointed. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9. The whole book is about the return of the Lord in the air, except for chapter 5. Then he gets into the wrath that's coming to this world. Now look at verse 9 of chapter 1. He is the one who has rescued us from what? From the wrath to come. There's a wrath coming. God's wrath is coming. We're coming with him. We're coming back with him. He is going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two. How do I know the rapture comes first? And it doesn't come in the mid-tribulation, doesn't come at the end of tribulation. It doesn't, that because the church is Christ's bride. We're out. We're not looking for the Antichrist. There's a lot of detail about the second coming of the Lord. But before that happens, and you know, I was telling my dear young believer the other day. I said, listen, what do you think of Israel? And he looked at me like I had two heads. What are you talking about, Israel? I said, you haven't been taught very well. You know, I said, you're just a baby Christian. And I want to share with you, friend, if you don't understand Israel in the future, you're going to miss out. Look, the church is never mentioned in the book of Revelation. Once you get to the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 6, when all of the judgments start to come, when they all come, you don't read about the church. You don't read about the church till chapter 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Babylon and all the, you know, people get all twisted up like pretzels. And they try to allegorize all of Revelation and they, you know, well, what is the 144,000 Jews? What is that? The Jewish evangelists that have been marked coming during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Look, they're going to evangelize the world, but they're Jewish. It's Israel. And when we saw Israel, like even in our lifetime, you and I, Christian, what a privilege to see Israel back in their land. That little insignificant dot really on the planet. The size, not even the size of, what is it, New Jersey or smaller. It's so significant. But if you don't read that in your scriptures, if you don't understand that God is taking us out, God's taking us out. We're the church. We're his bride. We're out of here. And then, 7 years, you know, we look at the world. Look at how fast, guys, in the last couple of years. Just, you know, you have to live on another planet if you haven't seen it. How fast things happen. We're only 2 years and you know, the world changed and it was worldwide and who wasn't affected by it? Everyone was affected by it, but that just should be for you and I. It's just an encouragement. If we look at it, we go, we see the world and it, you know, I want to be clear-headed about this. This is not my future. This world's not my home. I don't want to put my eggs all in this basket. We're on the Titanic. It's not a matter of if we hit the iceberg. The world's going to hit its iceberg, guys. And Christ, who will allow 7 years of Satan's, you know, and 7 years, think of how short of a period of time in the scheme of things. But the world's going to, if we think we're in the tribulation right now, you are mistaken, Christian. You are mistaken. This is a Sunday school picnic compared to what the tribulation will be like. Now, there's a lot of things going on and, you know, facial recognition and this and that. And, you know, I mean, look, I to me, this is just like, it's a warm up, but it is a reminder. It ought to be an encouragement for you and for I that we're friends of Christ. He let us in on these secrets and we know the future. We don't know exactly when. We don't know exactly the time frame, the hour and the day. We don't know that. Anybody tells you they know that, they're a false prophet. Run. But you and I ought to be encouraged. Encouraged, clear-headed. We ought to understand that, you know what, Satan, he hasn't even been you know, we know he's the God of this world. But wait, when we're gone. But what is Satan's devices now? And this is what, let me read the article to you again, the headline from CBC. And I want to just talk about this for a second. How disagreements about COVID have driven families and friends apart. Now, Christian, I want to tell you something. This is me, okay? Satan is at work. He's got the world in his back pocket. So he ain't too worried about the world, because the world, it says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. I'm going to tell you what his devices are. Jesus said about the evil one. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. But the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Christian, let me ask you this question. And I ask myself this question. Tony, are you angry? Are you discouraged? Are you full of fear and anxiety and anguish and resentment? Well, the world is. Are Christians? Have we had scraps, not talking to each other, not getting along? Satan is at work, guys. This is a spiritual thing. When it involves the church, it's a spiritual thing. There's division. Churches have fallen apart at the seams. I'm going to tell you something. That's never of God. We might think we're doing God's work when we're dividing. We're never doing God's work when we're dividing. We're to be clear-headed. What does it say in verse 9? We're to be clear-headed, sober, loving. Satan is coming about like a roaring lion, and he is devouring a couple of things. He is devouring individual Christians who are out there alone and are not fellowshipping. For whatever reason, I'm not getting together with the Christians. That's not of God. Do not forsake the assembling of one another, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another even more so as we see the day approaching. Not right to separate ourselves. Number two, are we angry? Our gastric juices burning a hole in our stomachs. It's craziness. It's not right. That's not of God. God is a God of peace. Peace with him and peace with you and I. Guys, listen, when I preach like this, I'm talking to myself first. I was reading this and Tony, get the message. First of all, Christ is coming back. We're not going through the tribulation. The tribulation is for the world. It's for Israel. God is going to save a remnant of Israel. And that's why the Antichrist, who is a Jew hater, will set up in the temple, the restored temple. He'll set up at the abomination of desolation in the middle, the 3.5-year period of the tribulation, the Antichrist will say, and this is where you read in Revelation chapter 17, he'll get rid of all other, like it'll all be one religion, and it's, you know, and then, you know what? It's going to be, you worship me. 3.5 years at the 3.5 year mark. Isn't that wonderful? Christian, you and I know these things. I'm glad I know that. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. And when I start getting all focused on who could it be, and look at the crazy world, and look at all the technology on my phone that, you know, it follows me around and it knows what I'm thinking and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, why am I so uptight about that? I should even be more excited that Christ is coming soon. And if Christ is coming soon, read chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. I'm going to show you something that Paul says. Okay? Here's what Paul says. Chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 12. Chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 12. Christ is coming back. So what does Paul say? And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when the Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Jesus is coming back. He's taking us out of here. We're going to be with him. We are the bride of Christ. We're not Israel. He's taking us out. What should our responsibility be? Love one another. Be holy. Be ready. Looking for Titus chapter 2. Looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from all iniquity, purchasing for himself a peculiar people. That's you. That's me. You're peculiar. You want to know another word is? You're weird. You're a peculiar people. Well, you're weird to the world, or at least we should be. You're kind of weird. Yeah, because we don't march to the beat of the drummer of this world. We don't march to his beat. We go against the grain. We're not so all tied up of what's going on in the world. This is not our home. We're only passing through. Guys, this is a practical doctrine. We're not mid-tribbers. We're not post-tribbers. We're not kingdom theology here, because it's not scriptural. We believe in the rapture because Jesus is coming. We're looking for that. He who has this hope in himself, 1 John 3:3, purifies himself even as he is pure. You have that hope, Christian? If you don't, I want to encourage you today. Time is short. I don't know exactly when Christ is going to turn off gravity. And he's got us marked out. I hope I'm alive when it happens. But even if not, I'm not worried about it, because absent in the body, present with the Lord, and he's going to come back with me. With me. And then we're back in heaven. It's exciting. We're not like the rest that have no hope. So today I just wanted to encourage you with these words. And I thank you guys so much just for being part of the family of God. I know it's difficult, and you know, it's these times are not easy at all. But guys, take these words to heart. We, you and I, need to love each other. You know, whether you are on one side of the issue or the other, that you got to leave that and mend our hearts together. God wants us to love one another and encourage one another even more so as we see the day approaching. Let us pray. Father, thank you again, O God, for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that in him are hid all the treasures of both wisdom and knowledge. Oh, Father, we just thank you that we are your friends, that we can read the Bible because we know the author of the Bible, and we can understand it. And God, you talk to us in the Bible about our past, and you talk to us about why we're here even now. But even more importantly, you talk to us about what is in store for us in the future. Father, help us to focus in on this truth and let it, Father, change our lives. And we realize that, you know, this short period of time on this earth, oh God, we just don't want to get our tires spinning in the mud of this world and slinging the mud and hurting other people, and especially other Christians. Help us to love each other, God, to bring us together, unify us, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.